listened in today. We are to be celebrated. We are to be commended for coming out and joining together to be here today to commemorate this remarkable decision. With that, I'm going to introduce the Raging Grannies. The Raging Grannies were founded in Victoria, British Columbia, by a group of peace activists who wanted to increase their effectiveness and impact. Nonviolent and decidedly unladylike, the Raging Grannies have worked on peace and social justice issues nationally and internationally for 25 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the Raging Grannies. All right, let's get one more grand to see well up here. Uh-oh, that'd be none of us. But we can do our best and try to pass out some lyrics. First, let's tune to the Battle of the Republic. All right.
Oh, we're the Raging Grannies, and we're here to take the stand to keep joy free for women all across the mighty land. We won't go back to hangers if our right to choose is banned. We march for women's lives, everybody. No more dying in the galleys. We'll keep marching in these rallies until all women everywhere are free to have a choice. We march for women's lives. Our lovely friends from Bay for two are here to take a stand to keep choice free for women all across this mighty land. We won't go back to hangers if our right to choose is banned. We march for women's lives.
Who else is here today, Grannies?
No, that's one of all.
The Silver Ribbon Campaign? Yeah, I see one over there.
The Silver Ribbon Campaign, too, is here to take a stand.
Who else is here, Grannies?
California Now is here. They're here to take a stand.
And I saw Wool Can't Wait back there. You guys see Slut Walk representatives? Oh, yeah.
Slut Walk and Wool Can't Wait. They are here to take a stand.
And is Marcelino here today? Mark's here? Yes? No?
In spirit.
In spirit.
Our Senator Marcelino, he is here to take a stand.
Who else is here, Grannies? I think Supervisor Chu is here.
And Supervisor Chu is here.
He's here to take the stand. I don't see him, but I'm sure he's here in spirit. And there was a religious organization for reproductive justice here. Let's give them a shout out.
Hey. Religious folks are here today. They are here to take the stand.
And the radical women? Oh, yeah.
The radical women now are here to take the stand.
To keep choice free for women all across this mighty land.
We won't go back to hangers if our right to choose is banned. We march for women's lives,
everybody.
No more dying in the galleys. We'll keep marching in these rallies until all women everywhere are free to have a choice. We march for women's lives.
All right, we have another minute. We have a short song. This is kind of a, we've got some wind going on here. This is thanks to Gay Shane. We sang a bodier version of this last year. We cleaned it up a little bit. It's on the back, number two. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world.
In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He wants abortion rights for all. Yes, he would. He wants abortion rights for all. Yes, he would. He wants abortion rights for all. Yes, he would. He wants abortion rights for all.
He'd say the bacon really
rocks. Yes, he would. He'd say the bacon really rocks. Yes, he would. He'd say the bacon really rocks. Yes, he would. He'd say the bacon really rocks.
He put his arms around the grannies.
Yes, he would.
They're so cold around the grannies.
Yes, he would. He put his
I wanted to, the next speaker is Patricia Villasalma of California Now. Patricia Villasalma is president of the California chapter of the National Organization for Women. She's an attorney whose California employment law practice includes heading and supervising a legal team through all stages of wage and benefit race discrimination case against the County of Los Angeles. As a college and law student and as an attorney, she has created a law practice committed to race, gender, and class justice. Patricia? Here she is. How's everybody doing on this windy day? Okay. Well, we had a little bit to celebrate this week. It's few and far between, but millions of women are going to get contraception from Catholic hospitals, schools, and all kinds of various for-profit enterprises that the church has decided that they were going to be taking over the world. But President Obama said no. What we have to do is keep on fighting, because we have five Catholics on that court that are ready to overturn that decision, ready to overturn Roe v. Wade, ready to overturn women's equality, and create an American Taliban, if you ask me. And we proved that all we have to do is be here, stand up. We're 52% of the population, and if all we have to do is occupy, just stand there and stop participating in what doesn't represent us. And thank you. I've been wanting to say this publicly for a very long time. Thank you, Occupy, for showing us the way back to what we knew years ago, that direct action is the best action. But don't forget to vote. you need the other part. But definitely out in the streets is where we need to be too. Because the two of them together is what creates change. And I think I'm gonna wrap this up and let the next speaker go. So we're all gathered here today after a year in which 1,100 anti-choice provisions were passed at the federal level. We just went through a year where a record number of provisions trying to limit and recriminalize abortions were passed. This is all taking place against the backdrop of economic deprivation. This was the debate that took place instead of the debate on how to get and maintain jobs. Fully 68% of the provisions that were passed by the Senate and the House tried to limit or criminalize abortion. This is the year that we just had. It was not a year of reproductive rights, it was a year of reproductive wrongs. And everything that we do in 2012, every act of advocacy, every word that we speak, every word we write, should remember that when we were supposed to be talking about a sustainable and meaningful economic future, the only real debate that was happening was whether or not Roe v. Wade should be rolled back and our bodies be criminalized. That's why we're here today. The next speaker is Stephanie Tang of the World Can't Wait. Since the World Can't Wait began in 2005, it has been on the front lines fighting for reproductive justice. The World Can't Wait today organizes marches and defends providers and clinics from Wichita to Germantown to Brooklyn. Stephanie Tang is a Bay Area-based organizer speaking today for World Can't Wait, a national movement that says abortion on demand and without apology. They see abortion and birth control as non-negotiable, fundamental, put your whole body on the line for it, matters of freedom for women and for humanity as a whole. Stephanie Tang.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, BayCorp, for organizing this day for us here. Friends, you know how life and death important it is to be here today to celebrate the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. We are standing up for abortion and birth control 39 years after abortion was made legal, and it's still hanging by a thread. 90% of U.S. counties with no providers. Elizabeth mentioned the laws that have been passed just in this last year. Parental notification, mandatory waiting periods, gestational bans, forcing women to look at sonograms, etc., etc. And our doctors, our providers who give us the abortions are hunted and terrorized and murdered. And the stigma and shame cast on women who get abortions is greater than ever. And now even birth control is under siege. Pharmacists refusing to fill prescriptions. Quote unquote, personhood amendments seeking to criminalize miscarriages and ban contraception. And Obama openly upholding Kathleen Sebelius's unprecedented decision to overrule the FDA and block the over-the-counter distribution of Plan B, which, as you know, is emergency contraception. What Roe Can't Wait said in 2005 is being borne out now. There is not going to be some savior from the Democratic Party. This whole idea of putting our hopes and energies into leaders who tell us to seek common ground with fascists and religious fanatics is proving every day to be a disaster, and it actually serves to demobilize people. But silence and paralysis are not acceptable, and that which you will not resist and mobilize to stop, you will learn or be forced to accept. And so there's no escaping it. This whole disastrous course must be stopped, and we must take the responsibility to do it. So my friends, look, millions and millions of people in this country do not want to see women forced to bear children against their will. But if we don't want that, we've got to rely on ourselves. If 2011 marked an unprecedented escalation in the assault on women's lives, 2012 has to mark the launch of unprecedented resistance. And this is a matter of life and death for women and girls now and today and for generations to come. Whether abortion and contraception are legal comes down to whether a society sees women as fully human. This is a dividing line question in society now and for the future. And not just for women, but for everyone. And people whose religious views want to ban abortion, they need to be reminded of historical reality. When religion ruled society, it was called the Dark Ages. What I'm saying about needing a year of huge resistance draws from a call you can find online and sign on to at worldcan'twait.net. And I also want to tell you, everybody, about a new project being launched by Sansara Taylor called End Pornography and Patriarchy and the Enslavement and Degradation of Women. And just to be clear, this is not a campaign about getting new laws against pornography or about enforcing traditional morality. We are challenging a new generation in particular to reject the culture of rape and pornography, to resist the shaming of women for having sex or having abortions, and to wage a fierce cultural political resistance to put an end to porn and patriarchy, and to bring forward a liberating culture and movement that celebrates the full equality and liberation of women. So you're going to hear later, there are some unwelcome visitors in town today. The anti-woman, anti-abortion, anti-contraception, anti-human, so-called March for Life, is going to be marching down Market Street later today. And you'll hear about it. But every year, their churches round them up and bring them here because they think San Francisco is Sodom and Gomorrah, and they need to tell us that abortion's going to be banned. So we are going to be here. And let's say what we want. Can you say, abortion on demand? And without apology. And let's do it again loud enough for people to hear us in D.C. because tomorrow tens of thousands of these antis are going to be marching in the streets. And our friends, other resistors, are going to be there in the streets and on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court to meet them. So, mic check. Mic check. Mic check. Are you ready? Fetuses are not babies. Women are not incubators. Abortion is not murder. A woman who cannot decide for herself when and whether to have a child is not free. Forced motherhood is female enslavement. And when women are not free, when half of humanity is not free, no one is free. Thank you for being here today to celebrate Roe v. Wade. Thank you for being here and all your work, and thank you for being in the resistance. The world can't wait. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Before I introduce the next speaker, I want to make sure that everyone knows that in San Francisco, for the first time in, as long as I've been here, we have a reproductive rights visibility campaign. There are 72 banners hanging up and down Market Street, thanks to Trust Women, BayCorp, and a host of other groups, Sister Song, Planned Parenthood, Shasta Pacific. These banners spell out a varied message of reproductive rights and justice. They were hung up through the unprecedented collaboration between these groups, and they are the first visibility campaign in San Francisco. Even though 20 of them were torn down and vandalized by people who cannot stand the rebuttal to their assertion that abortion is always murder and is always a criminal act, we look forward to more reproductive rights visibilities campaign, and the remaining banners that fly on Market Street fly all the more fiercely. This next speaker is Sophia Yen of Trust Women. Sophia Yen, MD, MPH, is a pediatrician who specializes in teenagers. She grew up in the Bay Area, went to UCSF for medical school, and then Children's Oakland for pediatrics residency. She went to UCSF again for adolescent medicine fellowship and UC Berkeley for MPH in maternal child health. She now works at the LPCH Stanford Interteen and Young Adult Clinic. She founded the Silver Ribbon Campaign to Trust Women, which sponsored the face painter Balloon Twister here today. And she hopes to be the first Surgeon General to say masturbation without being asked to resign. Ladies and gentlemen, Sophia Yen.
Emergency contraception. I want to make sure that everybody walks away with important facts. And emergency contraception, which is Plan B or levonorgestrel, if you take it and you're pregnant, nothing happens. It's not an abortifacient. It won't change what's growing. It's not a mutagen or teratogen. It is over-the-counter for 17 and above. But unfortunately, I want to tell you the history of emergency contraception. So back in 2006, a group of medical people applied that emergency contraception go over the counter with no age restriction. 30 plus medical organizations said send it over the counter with no age restriction. The FDA nonpartisan medical panel comprised of MDs and PhDs voted 23-4, send it over the counter with no age restrictions. Then, unfortunately, in 2006, the FDA commissioner under Bush at that time said, no, I don't think so. Never in our country's history has the FDA commissioner overruled the nonpartisan medical committee on an FDA drug. But unfortunately, in this case, it did. So in 2009, the Center for Reproductive Rights went back and sued and said, hey, this was done on politics and not based on science. So please send it over the counter. A judge in New York immediately ruled that they would send it over the counter. At the time, it was only over the counter for 18 and above. They said send it over the counter for 17 and above. And so they did. But the FDA must revisit this decision. It's been 2 years afterwards, and the Obama administration had not done anything. So the Center for Reproductive Rights again sued the administration and said, hey, you were supposed to revisit this in 2009. And so in 2011, the FDA revisited it, had another bipartisan commission looked at it, and again voted, send it over the counter. Send it over the counter with no age restrictions. And so then the FDA commissioner, appointed by Obama this time, said, send it over the counter, no age restrictions. Then, unfortunately, Secretary of State Kathleen Sebelius said, no, I don't think so. Again, unprecedented. Never in our country's history has the Secretary of Health and Human Services overridden the FDA. Who is this woman to override two nonpartisan medical committees? Who is this woman to slap in the face the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and 37 plus other medical organizations, nurses, social workers, teachers, people in public health? Obama had the opportunity to say, maybe Secretary Sebelius had stepped out of line. Did he choose to do this? No. He invoked his two children and said, goodness, if my children went to the pharmacy and got some emergency contraception, what would that do to them? Well, Mr. Obama, President Obama, respectfully, I invoke my two daughters, and I say that I will teach my two daughters, if you go to the pharmacy and you get a bottle of ibuprofen or Tylenol and you take that, you could kill yourself. If you go to the pharmacy and you get two tablets of emergency contraception, nothing will happen. And I used to love to give this talk when I was pregnant. And I would say, I take two pills right here, right in front of you, nothing will happen. Because it's just progesterone. Progesterone is a natural hormone that supports a pregnancy. But if a woman is about to ovulate, her egg is about to pop out, it says, hold that egg. Don't pop it out yet. So I say to Mr. Obama, stop playing politics with medicine. Send this medication over the counter. Stop slapping the medical community in the face with your decision. And this decision is unprecedented and unwarranted. On the good side, we do want to thank them, if you all aren't aware, that the Institute on Medicine decided that birth control is preventative medicine. And therefore, under Obamacare, it will be available with no cost sharing. And in this economy, people have to decide between a $30 copay for birth control and feeding their children, or a $30 birth control and taking their children to the doctor, taking care of their teeth, or feeding them, or housing. And so that's why in this economy, affordable birth control is free birth control. So thank you, Obamacare, for that. Minutes. All right, so I wanted to read this poem to you because it brings me to tears and hopefully won't right now. First they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, and then there was no one left to speak for me. So I want you to realize, and I want you to come to our website, oursilverribbon.org, that first they went after abortion coverage, then they decided to redefine rape, such that if a woman is underage, if she is drugged or unconscious, that doesn't qualify as rape. This is going on in our government right now. Then they are allowing abortions, they are not allowing abortions in the case of the life of the mother. So I want you all to know that the House of Representatives passed something that said if a woman needs an abortion in the ER and she's pregnant, the physician has the discretion to say, let her die. Our government, House of Representatives, passed this measure. We need to educate all of our friends, not in California, to check out the representatives and see how they voted on that. Then they voted to defund birth control pap smears and STD testing. I say, when you don't fund birth control, that's morally irresponsible and fiscally stupid. And now they have declared open season on killing abortion providers. Several states have said it's justifiable murder to kill an abortion provider. When will the pro-choice, not the same as pro-abortion, Americans wake up, stand up, and be counted? I say thank you for coming out here, and thank you for standing up and being counted. And then you got to meet the young, well, the second youngest who wants to say something here.
I trust women to you. Please vote for pro-choice because I can't vote.
And please go to our table back there and participate in the National Online March for Reproductive Rights, or get a flyer and find out how you can. Get some great balloons and some great face painting.
Thank you, Sophia, and I want to say to Sophia and Ellen and everyone here that the silver ribbon is the only ribbon I have ever worn and probably ever will. I've got one right here on my lapel, and I'm just thrilled with this campaign. Our next speaker, the pleasure of introducing, I want to say beforehand that San Francisco this year told crisis pregnancy centers, which are centers that lie about providing abortion referral services, that they cannot lie to women any longer. I had the distinct pleasure of sitting in the Board of Supervisors chambers in San Francisco and listening to our next speaker, or watching our next speaker vote for this critically important city ordinance. That's David Chu, the president of San Francisco's Board of Supervisors. He represents San Francisco's District 3. He's lived in District 3 for over a dozen years. David is a tireless advocate for women's reproductive health. He created a city program to encourage the phasing out of toxic chemicals found in nail polishes that damage women's reproductive health. And in October of 2011, he joined with his colleagues on the Board of Supervisors in support of a city ordinance that stops crisis pregnancy centers from lying to women who are seeking abortions. Ladies and gentlemen, David Chu.
Good morning, San Francisco. It's good to see everyone here out this morning. I am so proud to represent a city that has stood for civil rights, that stood up for our constitutional rights, has been in the forefront of our civil liberties, is the bluest of the blue, and the city of St. Francis that stands for compassion, that stands for protecting our most vulnerable, and that is what we are all doing by standing up today. I also want to say, I want to thank you after several days of rain clouds. You have chased away the rain and brought back the sun. But we know that it is still chilly in America for our constitutional rights. On the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, these rights are still under assault. We cannot forget that. And I want to thank you all from all of the communities that we represent collectively, that we are working together to ensure that we will have hopefully centuries more of protections for these critical rights. San Francisco, thank you very much. San Francisco earlier this year, as was just mentioned by Elizabeth, stood up to say, we don't want deceptive advertising when it comes to crisis pregnancy centers. We need to make sure that we stand up for the First Amendment, but that doesn't protect the right for folks to lie and for folks to deceive. And it's important when there are women in vulnerable situations that that not be the case, certainly not here in San Francisco. I also want to mention, Dr. Yen talked about the quote that we all know was from the Holocaust. And I stand here, and I know that the next speaker, or one of the subsequent speakers, Senator Mark Leno, we stand here not just elected officials, but we stand here as men in solidarity with this pro-choice movement. Because we know that if they come after you, they're going to come after all of us. And that is what this movement is about. I want to again just thank all of you for the work that you're doing, for representing the green, the pink, the blue, everything that is part of this movement. We look forward to standing with you, and thank you for being here in San Francisco. Let's keep on the movement.
Thank you. This next speaker is Alex DeBracco of Change.org. I want to take a moment to ask people to remember that when they go home today and get back in front of their computer, that they join the virtual march for women's rights. You log in and you can basically join with people across the nation in asserting that you believe that abortion should be legal. It's got the greatest graphic of any virtual campaign I've ever seen. You can literally see people from across the nation logging in and joining you virtually. I think it's a great idea, and I encourage everyone to join it. Alex DeBracco is the senior organizer for women's rights at Change.org. She specializes in campaigns related to sexual assault, reproductive justice, immigration, and sex work. Change.org is the fastest growing platform for social change, growing by more than 500,000 members a month and empowering millions of people to start, join, and win campaigns in their communities and country. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex DeBracco.
Hey, everybody. So I ended up not meaning to, but because I don't know the traffic around here, walking here from Potrero Hill. So I had a really nice morning. I'm from New York. I'm just out here visiting, and us New Yorkers think you can just hail a taxi anywhere and you'll be fine. But one thing that San Francisco and New York do have in common is that they have both passed legislation regarding crisis pregnancy centers. You just heard about that from the last speaker. We were lucky enough to change at change.org to have campaigns for both New York and San Francisco calling upon the city council, calling upon the board of supervisors out here to pass that truth in advertising legislation, knowing that the congressional reports have found 87% of these centers lie, all sorts of things about mental health problems if you have abortion, about infertility, shaming women, all of that kind of stuff. So I connected with Baycor, with the organizers here, with Summer Loan, because she started this petition on change.org. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and about people-powered organizing, because her petition mobilized 800 San Francisco residents and other supporters from across the nation and around California who spoke up, and they said that we can't believe that these centers exist, that this is what our own attorney general found that they do, that they lie to women, that they make false advertising, that Congress has found them, and that they're still allowed to tell women, come here if you're concerned about having a pregnancy and you want information. They don't provide information. So both of those campaigns in San Francisco and New York have been victorious. And I'm sure that some of the people who signed that petition that Baycor started on change.org is here today. So I want to thank people who take action and people who are going to join the Trust Women Virtual March. But it also has filled in and started more of a movement. So we've had about 8 or 9 campaigns started across the country on change.org for people who saw the San Francisco petition that Baycor started, and they looked at their own cities and they said that we have the same problem. We have these crisis pregnancy centers and we want our city council to take action. So from Santa Barbara to Gainesville, Florida, to Minnesota and New York, we have new campaigns up on the site for local people who live right there who are mobilizing their own communities to take the same action. So this is really impressive as part of the movement. Some of the other things that we see, it was mentioned before by Sophia Yen that the Congress has tried to change the definition of rape, which is one of the really appalling things. I work a lot on sexual assault, and we couldn't believe that they wanted to redefine it. But one of the really amazing things that we saw happen on change.org is 150,000 people signed a petition on our site started by Ms. Magazine, which is coming up and celebrating its 40th anniversary this month. And they told the FBI to change the definition of rape, because the definition of rape that we've had for 80 years is actually only forcible rape. It doesn't count if you were drugged, it doesn't count if you were unconscious. So when Congress was saying, hey, let's change the rape and incest exceptions for when you can get abortion, they were doing that because they already had precedent in the national definition of rape where this would be okay. So 150,000 people spoke out. They told the FBI that this is unacceptable. They told the Obama administration that was unacceptable. And just a few weeks ago, they changed the definition of rape for the first time in 80 years. And it's so impressive to me. So from the local scale, 800 San Francisco residents petitioning the Board of Supervisors, Baycor doing a petition delivery, telling them that they don't want to let crisis pregnancy centers manipulate and lie to women, to all across the country, women coming together and telling the FBI and getting the Obama administration to make a statement that they are changing this, is really impressive. And we've seen this kind of online organizing merge with offline really great rallies and events like this is a new thing that we've been able to do with new technologies. And I'm so thrilled that I was able to be here today, to be a part of these campaigns, and I really hope that if you guys see injustices in your community at any time, that you think about going online and doing something about it, and you think about coming offline and joining rallies like this, because people really do have the power to make change. Thank you so much. Thank you, Alex, and we hope you can come back and watch some more of our hills. They're really awesome. This next person is a personal hero of mine. I'd like to introduce State Senator Mark Leno. He is a tireless advocate for women's reproductive health, a tireless advocate for the environment, a tireless advocate for the issues that matter most. He has just been an absolutely stalwart support. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Mark Leno.
Good morning, San Francisco. Thank you so much for being here today. We are here to stand in support of women's reproductive rights and for safe and affordable access to those rights. You know, choice without access is no choice at all. And it's amazing when you realize that choice only exists in 17 states across this country. So two-thirds of the country provides no choice at all. And with regard to access, only 13% of the counties in this country provide safe and affordable access to women's reproductive choices. That means almost 9 out of 10 counties in this country provide no access whatsoever. Even here in California, which is one of the leaders of women's reproductive choices, a third of our counties, only 34% of our counties, a third of our counties do provide access. So again, choice without access is no choice at all. I hope you've been enjoying this circus of Republican presidential debates. You know, these social conservatives who wage the cultural wars use these wars as a smokescreen for much more broad-based issues. Just like the Tea Partiers were the smokescreen, the front people for the Koch brothers and other oil billionaires, so are these cultural wars. If Rick Santorum's serious about personhood battles and making sure that the life begins at conception, well, wouldn't you think that he would then promote any interference with conception, such as vasectomy? But of course, they don't talk about that. And if you're talking about protecting, quote, traditional marriage, wouldn't the obvious solution be to outlaw divorce? But they don't talk about that either. Though I would have one question for Newt Gingrich. When he speaks in defense of marriage, is he defending his first, second, or third marriage? So we're going to make sure that we expand a woman's right to choose and expand safe and affordable access. Any interference with it is completely unacceptable. And the question isn't whether there's too much choice, we know that there is far too little. So make sure you get engaged, follow the debates in the coming months, no matter which of these Republicans will be challenging Barack Obama in November. Each one of them is equally hypocritical. Each one of them is equally fraudulent in what they're talking about, because all of it is just promoting, trying to bring out social conservatives to vote for them over Barack Obama so that they can continue to carry the water, do the work for the 1%. And that's really what it's about, protecting the wealth and the power of that 1%. Bringing out social conservatives, thinking they're going to get that issue which is important to them attended to, but they never do. What did George Bush do? Use those social conservatives? Did he ever do anything about their desire to see Roe v. Wade overturned? No. But it was really about making sure that those tax cuts for the top 1% were put into place, which of course has so devastated our economy. All the dots connect. Thank you for being here. Thank you for standing up for women, for our children, and for our families.
Thank you, Mark.
That brings me to my next point before I introduce the next speaker. I want to ask every one of you in the crowd to make sure that today is not the only day you think critically about reproductive rights. BayCorp has existed since 1988. We were the ones that were throwing our bodies between female patients and anti-choice protesters. We were the ones who kept the clinics open against the onslaught of Operation Rescue in the 80s. When you see those horrible pictures of clinics being assaulted and closed and attacked, and you see the pictures of women who bravely put their bodies on the line to keep reproductive clinics open, that's BayCorp. That's our history. Direct action matters. We're branching out. BayCorp wants to be your organizing partner for reproductive rights in San Francisco and the Bay Area for 2012. And we're here to help make sure that this is not the only time you check into reproductive rights. Just this year, we held a women's health panel in the Bay Area and looked at intersected issues of abortion rights, pre- and postnatal care, supported pregnancy. We stood against the 50 racist anti-choice billboards in the East Bay that accused African-American women of not knowing what they were doing. Yes. We walked in the Oakland Walk and the San Francisco Walk for Choice. We again protected patients from being videotaped at the Planned Parenthood Clinic on Mission Street. We organized three counter demonstrations. We held rallies. Most importantly, we partnered with other organizations like Change.org to create two successful petitions. And because of these petitions, and because we turned people out, and because we spoke to people directly and asked them to check in with reproductive rights, we were able to tell crisis pregnancy centers in San Francisco this year that you cannot lie to women who are seeking health care at a vulnerable point. This is what we did. This is how we partner with our community, and this is how we want to work with you in 2012. You can find us at www.baycorp.org. What I want to ask you to for right now is to go to the beautiful nun, and I want you to give the nun money, because we have organized this rally out of our own pockets. We need donations to make sure that we can do this again. We need donations to make sure that we have an even bigger and more expanded reproductive rights visibility campaign in San Francisco next year. We need money so that we can continue to expand and grow BayCorp into an effective working partner that works at the local, the state, the regional, and the national level to make sure that people can think and work critically on reproductive rights all year. The next speaker is Mara Knudsen. Mara is a longtime women's rights, women's reproductive rights activist. She has worked with radical women. She is a nurse practitioner, and she's one of the most caring individuals I know, and one of the best thinkers about women's reproductive health and what they need. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Mara Knudsen.
Thank you all for being here. I want to be a nurse practitioner so I can help women access their reproductive health care needs throughout their lives. So that's in the future. I'm really hopeful. Thank you all for being here. My name is Mara. I'm with Bay Area Radical Women. We're really happy to be represented here today on this beautiful, windy day in San Francisco. We're thrilled to be part of the West Coast Rally for Reproductive Justice, and we're a proud member of BayCorp. On January 22nd, we're celebrating the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, with not without recognizing that challenges lay ahead for reproductive justice movement nationally and internationally. Abortion remains under attack, along with the attacks on women worldwide, and in conjunction with the basic denial of human rights and healthcare services. BayCorp's beautiful banner is hanging on First and Market, and it states, according to the UN, that abortion is a human right. Without the ability to control one's fertility, women are relegated to the position of second sex, and this is unacceptable. According to Sister Song, who aptly stated that behind every debate on contraception and abortion is the sexist belief that women are incapable of making the decision for ourselves whether or not to become mothers. Anti-abortionists don't want us to use birth control, emergency contraception, have abortions, or even have sex. We need to remind them that this is the 21st century, not the 19th century, and we will not be silenced by their cynical political decisions and thinly disguised contempt for women. That's from Sister Song, who's awesome. And they're a partner with the Silver Ribbon Trust Women campaign. Radical women demand the expansion of access to quality health care services, sex education, abortion, and reproductive health services. Right now, down Market Street, Civic Center Plaza, the anti-woman, anti-abortion Walk for Life is demanding a restriction of services, a rollback of the clock, and a return to what they deem to be better times. That's when women had one proper role, confined to child, church, and kitchen. In reality, these attacks are less about the fetus that they so claim to care about, and more about the attack on working class and poor women, women of color, and our immigrant sisters, whose bodies have been historically subjected to the whim of church and state. We demand autonomy and self-determination of all women, and an expansion of the services that women demand and need. And we also know that the Democrats are not reliable partners in this action. The Obama administration campaign promises have not come true, and the president has remained silent on reproductive justice issues, allowing the conservative right to dictate the terms of the debate. This is really unfortunate, but it's not a surprise, really. Enough is enough. If we are to be sure that reproductive rights are here to stay for the 99%, we must lead the play. Ann Slater, National Radical Women Organizer, states that... All right, guys. Instead of diverting energy into electing Democrats, feminists should continue the momentum of the vibrant Occupy movement and demand what working class women and men need. Things like health care with full reproductive services, food, social services, housing, and union wage jobs. We must look beyond politics as usual and support anti-capitalist candidates who will take action in the interest of the 99%. So, will you join us? That's the big question. We're going to be meeting here at Market, where Market meets the Marcadero, at Stewart Turn, at 1 o'clock to counter the presence of the right-wing Walk for Life as they come down Market Street. And as well at 1:30 at Powell, there'll be a counter demonstration. So we're going to go face-to-face. Radical Women is leading the one right here, and the Occupy Feminist Walk will be up at Powell at 1:30. So we really hope that you'll stay around and join us. And just to kind of keep up the energy, let's do a little chant. Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide. Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide. Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide. Thank you all for being here.
Okay. The weather is holding.